Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean. And today is an exciting day because we're going to do something we've only done in the show three other times, and that is finally complete another Kanye album.
Fight right back in the fell trap, then we're not a soul that can hear me holler. I'm caught in again, seeing I'm all strapped, and I can't move, and I'm singing lower.
Man, it's taken so long. Our methodology, we started to go through all, like, we're going to go track by track through Kanye's whole discography. So do all of one album, then all the next album, all the next. And when we got through College Dropout, it felt so limited. Yeah. And there were so many other albums and songs that we wanted to talk about that we started going, you know, all track ones, all track twos, all track threes. But that meant that over the course of 3 years, we've only finished one other album.
But by the end of 2018, we will finish three more albums on top of finishing Ye and Kitsy Goes. So not bad in 2018.
Yeah. So that means in total, we'll have done Ye, Kitsy Ghost, Yeezus, Late Registration, 808s. Graduation and My Beautiful Dark Twisted
four
Fantasy.
More albums. Shit.
Yeah. So we'll have finished seven.
And then we're going to go back and redo College Dropout.
Yeah. And then bring in Watch the Throne.
And Cruel Summer.
And have Yandi.
And the mixtapes.
So how many more years?
I mean, we're never going to run out of material. I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. Kanye's going to keep creating and we'll keep being like, this album's amazing. This is why.
And then we got Blueprint 3 and all the albums Kanye's produced.
It's just going to go on and on and on. And then we'll just, you know, go back through all the older
and albums. We are called Watching the Throne, which includes Jay, which means we have to get through all Jay's albums.
Could you imagine?
I can, but I don't want to imagine anything until we finish analyzing this song, because this one's going to be rough.
So from the first time I heard Kids See Ghosts, Cutty Montage was, I think, the song I was most excited to talk about.
3 months ago? 4 months ago?
Yeah, it seems like so long ago, but it's not.
Oh my god, it feels like an eternity.
But it hasn't been.
No, it hasn't.
But if you just go by the Kanye West news cycle...
Yeah, then an eternity.
Oh my god. But Cutty Montage, I think... From the very beginning, I liked a lot of the Kids See Ghosts soundscape, but from the guitar that opens a song to how intense the lyrics are and how beautiful that conclusion is, I have just always resonated most with this song on the album.
Yeah, and it's probably because this album's building so much. It's really building this environment of being surrounded by ghosts and the ghosts being the mistakes of your past and the life you've always wanted to live mixed with the life that you have lived and all the regrets you've had. I feel like there's a lot relatable in the song, it being the kind of conclusion of that journey and finally getting to the spot where you've gotten past a lot of the ghosts and you're ready to just look internally and work on yourself. And I think that's something all of us can really relate to when we get to that kind of humbled moment where it's time for just self-evaluation and looking past all the mistakes and looking towards the future. It's actually pretty reminiscent of what happens on Ye with Violent Crimes and everything.
Yeah, we've talked so much about the intertwined nature of these albums. And when we first started talking about them, I think way back when on release, we thought that they were more linear in nature, that you got Ye and then you got Kids See Ghosts. But as we've talked about the albums, we've felt that it almost becomes overlapping, that Ye is more of the external journey and the relationship with not just the self, but the external world, where Kid See Ghost is more of the relationship with the internal things that you're struggling with, your internal relationship. And when you put those two albums over top of each other, looking at the track side by side, looking at the journey side by side, they become way more illuminating as a whole than they are just individually. And individually, I think they're both doing awesome things for what they're exploring. But together, and looking at them as a united project, there's just so much more depth that comes in. And I don't think it's necessarily a reach to view them as a united project, as they have similar elements resonating between them. I mean, you have Ghost Town on Ye, and here on Kid See Ghost, you have Free, which is Ghost Town Part 2. You have Kanye referencing I Can Feel the Spirits All on Me, Prince and Mike trying to warn me, and Kid See Ghost, you talk about spirits constantly. There's a few other times that each album refers back to the other in ways, and we know that they were inspired by one another, that it was initially working on Ghost Town for Ye that the idea for Kid See Ghost came about, and that Kanye and Cudi started working on this project. So there's a lot of symbiosis between these two albums, and they even share the same structure with the 3-1-3 structure, where on Ye, the first three tracks get at the darker thoughts, with that refrain, the most beautiful thoughts are beside the darkest.
Most beautiful thoughts are always beside the darkest. Today I seriously thought about killing you. I contemplated premeditated murder.
And we start in more of this negative headspace, this negative relationship with the external world.
It's a different type of rules that we obey. Yay, 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 season, nigga, we obey. We was all tweaking, tweaking off that 2CB, huh? Is he gonna make it TBD, huh?
You might have to enjoy a sample. All these thoughts on Chris and Mingle. Almost what got Tristan single. If you don't ball like him or Kobe, guaranteed that bitch gonna leave you. Hey, time is
before that flips on would it leave, and realizing the impact that these thoughts and actions have.
They said build your own, I said halfway. I said slavery a choice, they said hi, yay. Just imagine if they caught me on a wild day. Now I'm on 50 blogs, getting 50 calls. My wife calling, screaming, say we about to lose it all. Had to calm her down cause she couldn't breathe. Told her she could leave me now, but she wouldn't
and
leave.
I know you wouldn't leave.
And the last three tracks getting into the beautiful thoughts and the development that you have to have and the rebirth that comes about from having this more positive attitude.
Once again, I am a child. I let go of everything that I know. Don't you grow up in a hurry. Your mama be worried. Oh, it was all part of the story. Even the scary nights. Thank you for all of the glory. You will be remembered. Oh, thank you to all of the heroes of the night.
Kid See Ghost has a similar dynamic of starting in more of a negative place.
Like you knew you'd fail. Only to know how I feel. And only if you knew how I felt. Stick the little
it feels so good it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it.
And having this switch that occurs on Free, where you finally feel free.
Guess what, baby? I feel free.
And coming out of that sensation of feeling free into being reborn, having a better understanding of what the ghosts are that you see, and then arriving at Cudi montage, which culminates the relationship and importance of God in staying strong and be able to move on and move past the ghosts that have haunted you.
I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Kids say ghosts sometimes. Yeah, that's the king. But what's the crown to the clouds? Moving around. Yeah, that's the king.
Lord, shine your light on me. Say baby. Lord, shine your light on me. Say baby.
And on top of the, you know, the strict narrative that you're talking about, there's also a sonic narrative that's pretty similar in both albums. I mean, aesthetically, both albums are completely different. They don't really sound the same at all, but they end up taking a similar aesthetic journey in a way. Like, Ye starts with, it starts out kind of airy, and like there's just this sort of like a choir going on in the background. There's not much, and then it, as the song kind of ramps up and kind of gets a little more angry, the synth is introduced and he gets into Yeezus mode. And he's in Yeezus mode through Yikes and All Mine until Wouldn't Leave, which is this moment of self-reflection and thinking about how he's pushed away people in his life, including his wife, first and foremost. And coming out of that, the album then has a more gospely choir sound that we haven't heard since like Late Registration. And it's him getting back to his roots, losing his ego and getting back to that old Kanye mentality. We see the same thing really happening on Feel the Love, or on a Kids Ego, starting with Feel the Love, where you hear Kid Cudi say, you know, I can still feel the love. There's some element that exists outside the world that we're about to be pulled into, which is a sort of ghostly realm that Pusha T pulls us into. And these drums and synth are introduced that are pretty heavy throughout the album, really, but they're heaviest in those first three songs, in Feel the Love, in Fire, in Fourth Dimension. But Free, it kind of opens up, and you have the Marcus Garvey quote about finding your own environment and being a master of your own space. It, we could feel the album start to push away those kind of heavy sounds, and the synths become less and less pronounced until we get to Cudi Montage, where we finally get this song about letting God in and letting the light in. And slowly throughout the song, we'll see the light flooding in until the very end, when you just feel the light, and it kind of actually sounds like the beginning of Ye. And if you want to like look at both these albums being a whole and kind of bookending each other, Ye starts with a sound that sounds, I think, pretty similar to how Cudi Montage ends.
Ooh. Form and function. I love when form and function meet.
Oh, it gets us going, if you know what I mean.
It really does. It's a beautiful thing. It's like a artistic high. So is that a... That's a good overview, right?
Jesus, yeah, that's enough.
Okay, so getting into Cudi Montage, one of the contextual things to keep in mind is why it's even called Cudi Montage. In the year 2015, there was a documentary release called Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck.
It's a moose.
That's Kurt's puke, everybody. Hey, kids, there's your dad's vomit. Oh, my God. So tell us about your stomach condition, Kurt Cobain.
It's got a really long Greek word.
Homoxyphosa. I heard it.
And it included an album by the same name. And the album were a lot of the... Or Montage of Heck, the home recordings. And these were a lot of the unreleased recordings that Kurt Cobain just had that never became anything. And one of the important ones, and the one that's sampled in this song, is Burn the Rain. This track. And it's an incomplete song that has just a few lines before somebody calls, and that interrupts Cobain, and he doesn't go back to it. But the few lines you get are, burn the rain, come down in pain, fame million, from the loving of her, from of loving, from the love of rain, from the loving, friends and I weigh, and then the phone goes. Which, some of it probably just seems like gibberish, and that's just, I think, the early working process of a lot of artists, is just to kind of get the sound of things and to kind of get some key words down in a structure going. But if you're looking at what's kind of emerging, you have this idea of burning the rain and the idea of come down in pain from the loving of her, from of loving, from the love of rain. And it seems that these are the things that are causing the pain that's happening, that it's kind of a song that's getting into some darker thoughts, and that he's saying, I need to burn these things away. And maybe that's getting at this idea of improvements, but we know with Kurt Cobain that never happened. His journey is a sad one, where the kind of demons that haunted him continued for his entire life. I mean, he was in his teens when he tried to commit suicide for the first time, laying down on train tracks and waiting for a train to come that never did. And there were multiple times throughout the next decade of his life where he was in depressed states and on the brink of suicide or even overdosed the week before he committed suicide. So there were a lot of demons that were haunting him until they finally won out. So this song being called Cuddy Montage, in reference to Kurt Cobain's Montage of Heck, really gets into this idea that we're seeing Cuddy and Kanye struggle with the same depression, thoughts of suicide that Cobain went through. But where Cobain's ghosts and demons got the better of him, it seems that Cuddy and Kanye, learning from Cobain and keeping him in mind, are trying to find a way out of that place. They're trying to find that self-mastery. They're trying to find a relationship with God that empowers them. And hopefully by being reborn and understanding the ghosts that surround them, they won't have the same fate that Kurt Cobain had.
Yeah. Hey, you bring up a good point, and something we talked about in the Kitsy Ghost episode is, what does the ghost even really represent? Is there a duality to it? Because you have at the beginning Mos Def saying kids see ghosts sometimes, and then spirit, and then at the end he says spirit just moving around, and then he says again spirit, yeah, that's the king. And it suddenly brings in this idea that ghosts and spirits could represent angels and God. And then in that first verse you have Cuddy saying, like, you know, I'm sitting in a room, many things trouble you, and when you're in that spot and you hear the angels coming, what does that mean to you? Does the angels come in mean you're dipping into the suicidal thoughts? Or does it mean you're ready to accept God into your life? And that duality is only more heavily pronounced when Cuddy Montage starts with just the guitar riff. You know, all of the sort of extra flourishes that have been put on throughout the album, the synths, the drums, the... any sounds are all stripped away, and all you have is Burn the Rain by Kurt Cobain. And it brings Kurt Cobain right to the forefront, you know. Reality sets in. It again, it's a lot like Violent Crimes, where the funereal music comes in and the colors are dripping off, and you have the Nicki Minaj voicemail. All artifice is stripped away, and you just have reality. So here in Cuddy Montage, we really do have this situation where, after the entire journey, we're just brought to, okay, suicidal thoughts happen. Like, they don't go away. You can always move forward. You can always try to be better. But when you have mental illness, when you have depression, like, this kind of stuff can always creep forward. So what are you going to do when presented with that? And the rest of this song is going to be the journey through that.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nordfiliale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
It really reminds me of how movies like to defamiliarize emotions like that. One of the movies I love for defamiliarization is The Babadook, where a lot of people that were just viewing it as a horror movie were saying like, oh, you know, it's too artsy, it's doing weird things, it wasn't scary. Other people thought it was terrifying, but The Babadook is actually trying to defamiliarize grief and how the loss of a husband can cause a depression and grief to a wife and a mother that starts to affect the relationship between her and her child, and even her well-being and ability to keep going. And in that movie, the monster, the Babadook, represents that grief taking stronger and stronger hold of the mom until it possesses her and is causing her to almost, not almost harm her child, but attempt to harm her child and attempt to, like, kill herself. And she has to eventually come face to face with that grief and confront it. And will she triumph or will it get the best of her? And Babadook being ultimately a positive movie, she's able to confront it and get over it. But I feel like Kitsy Ghost has taken kind of that cinematic approach in being so haunted by the specter of suicide throughout the album. And talking about depression here and there, like Fire is one of the songs early on, and we'll talk about that in a second, that kind of hints at this suicide and this negativity that was present. But here on Cuddy Montage, we finally see it in full effect, getting kind of the totality of the dark language and the desperation and the need for God.
Yeah, and as we'll see by the end of this song, and this is something the album's done really well, is there is no, like, clear, rosy answer. You know, it's not just, like, a field of flowers and sunshine. It's just you're always working towards something better. Like, even when you're ready to accept God into your life, like, that's just another step. Like, you still have to do something for yourself. You still have to take steps.
Yep. Yep, yep. And referring to Burn the Rain as well, real fast, Reborn. You may recall Kanye in that verse says, "What an awesome thing engulfed in shame.
I want all the rain. I want all the pain. I want all the smoke. I want all the blame."
Just getting into the idea that when you're at this point of feeling the shame and the rain and the pain and the smoke and the blame, you're able to grow and learn from it and have this real spiritual experience through it all. So where it seems that Cobain got overwhelmed by the rain, that Kanye positions himself as somebody that embraces it and gains power from it rather than being overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, which is another part of this album that I love, kind of like when Cuddy does it a couple times where he's talking about Ric Flair off the ropes, and in Kitsy Ghost when he says, y'all too sloppy. There's a sense of ego sometimes presented in a good way where you don't really shy away from the ghost. You take them head on. And if there's anything that's Kanye, you know, that's it. Controversy says Jim. He doesn't mind taking some rain and some heat.
No, he had that great line, which I should memorize it, but when he was talking with T.I. before recording Ye versus the People, he talks about how when he speaks out, even if it's not the most clear thought or the most educated thoughts, or it's something controversial, what people bring back to him, it's that energy, both the positive and the negative, that helps cut him as a diamond or put the pressure on him that helps him get to that diamond state of being.
Yeah. And you can just tell, you know, from the year and a half of seclusion he went into that he was really letting the negative stuff get to him and control him. And that kind of stuff didn't allow him to be who he always was, who was Kanye West, who just said whatever was coming to the top of his head and didn't mind if it didn't come out exactly right. And then, yes, learned from both sides of what people were saying about him. He's definitely gotten back to that point, considering he just had a meeting with Trump.
Very much so. Very much so. And then lastly, before we get into the lyrics, I think it helps to have Fire in mind and Cudi's portion of Fire. So the verse that Cudi has there, which is short, he says, "It's so many days I prayed to God." And then he gets into the tone switches a little bit.
Pull up a seat and come grab a plate. Check the date, let him hate. This is the type shit that they couldn't make. Watch your fate, leave them buzzing, thought they wasn't, huh? Tell all your kinfolk and cousin, huh? This is the package you order, huh? Beautiful madness.
And that beautiful madness, I think we had talked about on that episode, gets at the idea that there's still this pressure that gets to you. And you can have the kind of the beautiful thoughts and the dark thoughts next to each other, which is what's going on in this verse. And the chorus that follows that verse is, "On this road I find these scars I left behind. Heaven lift me up." So it seems that Cudi is aware of not only being in a dark place and needing God to help him and talking about this pain, but that he would get into a mindset due to the beautiful madness where he would cause scars.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's looking back over his life, he's finding these scars that he left behind.
Yeah, and I think in Cudi montage, you really get the sense that all of that extra shit, you know, the people that he told to let him hate, they're not really part of the equation anymore. They're not; those people aren't really affecting him anymore, and he's really just kind of looking to have a one-on-one with God and let God in.
Which gets back to the Marcus Garvey stuff on Free, the Reborn stuff, Keep Moving Forward, and the Kids See Ghost stuff with what Mos Def says, which we'll talk about at the end of the song.
It's a lot of shit to get into.
Oh, man. Buckle up, buckle in.
What's the difference between buckling up and buckling in?
I don't know. And as I said the second one, I was like, why am I saying the second one? Should have just kept with the first.
I liked it.
Yeah. Good. I got you.
That's all that really matters.
Yes. So we see in Fire that Cudi had mentioned these days that he prayed in all this pain and couldn't seem to find a way. And then when we actually get into the lyrics of Cudi montage, what was summary on that verse now becomes scene, meaning that we go from a recap to actually getting the details of that moment and what it feels like. And it's dark. It's not a good place to be in.
Fight right back in the field trap, then when on the soul that can hear me holler. I'm caught in again, seeing more strapped, and I can't move, and I'm singing lower.
We have Cudi saying, "Find my back in the cold, trapped in another soul, they can hear me holler," which you get three very sensory driven descriptions right off the bat. Like, you're in this cold space, you're trapped, and it's in another soul. So it's this area that's outside of yourself that I wouldn't imagine is comfortable. It feels contained and smaller than what it should. A bit of claustrophobia. And they can hear me holler, which you can almost feel that in your vocal cords. Like, that screaming and yelling. Mm. But what's being done? Who's going to help you? It seems that Cudi then refers to everybody else around him in the industry. "I'm colder than the game." But where that would typically sound as something positive, I think in this case, especially with that first line being "find my back in the cold," that cold was set up as this negative thing. And given the context of this song on this album, the idea that "I'm colder than the game" may not necessarily be a positive one, but maybe actually describing "I'm in a darker place than other people."
Well, that would actually fit with how the album begins, "Feel the Love." We'll talk more about "Feel the Love" later, but it does start with this moment where Kid Cudi is saying, you know, I can still feel the love. It actually feels very external. And Pusha T comes in and this environment is introduced. It's kind of superficial. That's just about power and sex.
We not worry about no other niggas. We the mother niggas. You bust down a rollie, I bust down a brick. Then I flood a nigga. I am not to be compared to you rappers. Easy does it, nigga. I am more easy, you trying your best to become me, nigga. She like them bottles with bubbles in it. Buy her Loewe another linen. Why would I wait when there's other women? Why would I hate we in love with winning? Ooh! Buy her bundles, fly her out. Bring a friend, I try her out. Ain't no worries finding out the details as I
end. And then you have Kanye doing the Greta Tats, like it almost like hollering is happening.
Dope money just came along.
And you're stuck in this kind of, you're stuck between these two worlds where you want to find love and, you know, the ghosts that are surrounding you, this pressure to live a certain kind of lifestyle. And I feel like this beginning of this is kind of getting into that, especially the next line. See, I'm all strapped in and I can't move and I'm sinking lower, kind of being pulled into that lifestyle in a way.
I'm calling in again, see, I'm all strapped and I can't move and I'm sinking lower.
Yeah, we had talked about saving it for later, but maybe that is a good point to bring in what's talked about on Feel the Love.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were saying, like, I can still feel the love would get at something much more external. It's something that you're feeling from somebody else rather than something that you have within yourself. As Pusha T puts it, as we're not worried about these haters. We have the women. We have these bottles. That very superficial life that he's putting in and describing and taking comfort from seems to be something that Kanye is then getting at, that kind of drummed up attitude with the Greta Tats, gotta get gats, gotta get. And just having this sense of kind of high energy antagonism,
yeah,
to the world at large. And this idea of like, I can still feel the love. And Kanye had talked about that phrase and having that from other people after these albums came out, and after everything with TMZ and Trump, he was saying, I can still feel the love. It would make sense narratively to start, if your main focus is going to be the internal, starting more externally and having somebody that's more concerned with the external at the beginning, only to see them grow to appreciate the internal by the end. So yeah, huh.
Makes me think,
huh? You know, kind of like if you have a, if you want to show a character who's in need of love, maybe you'd have them start off only desiring sex at the beginning of a story. Would Kanye do something like that on Yeezus?
He's never, to my knowledge, never done anything like that on any of his albums.
No, I thought he could have been doing it on Life of Pablo, starting from a more superficial place in order to, you know, eventually get at the deeper appreciation of family and how family's more meaningful than superficial celebrity. But that can't possibly. I'm crazy there, right?
No, it's, none of it is as deep as Jay-Z's 444.
You're taking shots.
No, I'm praising it. It's a masterwork.
You want all the smoke. All the rain, all the pain. So if we see that Cudi would have started with that more external, I can still feel the love, and then by the end, he's saying that I'm just now in this cold place, and everybody else that's part of the game is strapped in and can't move, and I'm just sinking lower. Meaning that they can't help me. Like, they're not going to help me for whatever reason. Either they physically can't, they emotionally can't, or because they're in the game, they have to keep doing their own thing and they can't be concerned with me. And I'm just going to be lost. Like, the only person that's going to help him, heaven.
Heaven gonna help me because I feel the whirlwind. I'm happy trying to keep it steady. Ready for the mission, God, shine your love on me. Save me, please.
Because I feel the world weighing on me heavy, trying to keep it steady, ready for the mission. And in Fire, he even talked about living on a mission.
Yeah.
So it still feels very resonant. And then we get, God, shine your love on me. Save me, please. That first time that coming in, that plea, that acknowledgement that I need God to love me and save me. And that flips the idea of I can still feel the love from the external at the beginning to needing it from God by the end of the album.
Yeah. And this is an important moment, a demarcation point in this first verse, because that's when the synth sound is introduced. And it's no longer just Kurt Cobain's reminder of suicide and, you know, the pressures of being a celebrity and everything that can drive you to suicide. Now that sound that's been associated with the ghost the entire time has come in, and it starts to feel a little heavier.
If you're alone, I've been gone for so long, and nobody you can hear a word. Person in line, looking out nowhere, where's all money hitting nerve?
It follows that up with, if I'm going alone, I've been gone for so long, ain't nobody you can't hear a word. Perched in the night, looking out nowhere, where's home? Which, that gives so much more description and sadness and isolation to what was described on Fire in just, hey, I was in a dark place sometimes. Like, you're now getting the details of that, and it's scary, it's tragic. That sense of being alone, that sense of being gone, and nobody's able to hear anything that you're saying. Perched in the night, looking out nowhere, where's home?
It kind of calls back the reborn and being stuck in the storm and not knowing which way to go.
Sit here in the storm, keep moving, time goes on, keep moving, but they couldn't find my way out, keep moving, from the storm, keep moving, which way do I go?
It's really interesting that that thought is kind of continued in a way, even though we feel like Cuddy and Kanye have grown and moved past that mindset. It's just another reminder that you never really move past it.
Yeah, it keeps coming back. And this is one of those times where it's really in full force. It's been hinted at throughout the album, but I done hit a nerve, pain in my eyes. but he says, every time I find I'm stronger than I ever was. It's just, no matter how many times this comes back and how low it brings him and how desperate he feels, he's managed to hang on and stay through it and work through it and realize that he's stronger than he thought he could possibly be. And here we go again. It's coming back. But God, shine your love on me. Save me, please.
Yeah, it's almost like here we go again is him saying, okay, I'm reaching out to God again. It's this cycle where you reach out to God, you feel God's love, you live by God's mission. But sometimes, you know, you fall back into those old ways. Sometimes the ghosts consume you and you just have to keep working your way back to God.
That difference between the spirit and the spirit.
Yep.
And you may recognize God, shine your love on me, save me, please, from Ye on No Mistakes at the very end. Yeah, how crazy, right? What a wild coincidence.
What a small world. These two albums are suddenly meeting.
So on No Mistakes, you start with hearing a sample of Slick Rick saying, believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, and then Charlie Wilson and Kid Cudi coming in with Make No Mistake, Girl, I Still Love You. And it's Kanye following Would It Leave and the fallout from his earlier ramped up actions on I Thought About Killing You, Yikes, All Mine, saying like, okay, I understand I fucked up, you're staying by me, I have your love, and I need to reciprocate that. And in his verse, he talks about feeling good again and that the sun's coming in, and then addresses Drake
The true soul, an Ice Cube, too close to snipe you. Truth told, I like you, too bold to type you, too rich to fight you.
It's this attempt at squashing the beef that's there. Not escalating it, not making it worse. It's an attempt at not making any further mistakes. That's the attitude that he has to keep in mind, that I am doing this for you, I'm doing this for myself. And you have Believe It or Not coming in again and again and again until the very end, where it's Charlie Wilson and Kid Cudi. You get Believe It or Not, The Lord Still Shines on You. That's the full line that was just being teased at earlier in this song. And when you go to the song that that's from, Slick Rick, Hey Young World, you get two verses, and both of them deal with Slick Rick essentially yelling at kids as kind of a grumpy old man. He's like, hey kids, you're doing asshole things and being shitty. You need to knock it off because your parents are hurt, your friends are like upset, you're ruining your life and yourself. You need to do better. You can't keep living this life that you're living. And in the second verse, he says specifically,
you see, you're acting like this urge is demanding.
Come on, wake up.
Have some understanding. Society's a weak excuse for a man.
It's time for the
Bible. Now it's time to take the stand. Believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. He
guides you.
And he watched you as you grew. Plus,
past the age of
a little child, that's true. But folks your age don't act like you do.
So be mature.
And put the boy to a home.
And if you're over 18,
I wish you'd act like an adult.
Don't live in a world
of hate. Hey, hey, hey.
Pull yourself together
and get yourself straight.
You can see how that would apply to No Mistakes in the context of Yay, but also this idea of pulling yourself together and getting everything together through the love of God spiritually on Kitsy Ghost and Cudi Montage here.
Yeah. And I guess it also speaks to a more external way you carry yourself. And God shining his light on you means it changes the way you act and the way you treat other people. And we'll definitely see that by the end of this song, when at the end, you know, the outro, Kanye is kind of going through this external violence and the all the beef that tears people apart. And the song ultimately becomes about moving past that. And you move past that by letting God's light in.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. How did that not come up on prep? That Cudi's verse,
it probably
is,
did. We go through so much that it's like hard to keep track. Like,
it does come back to external as well. So you get Cudi's internal getting back at the behavior in the external realm and showing, man, damn.
Yep. We can't keep up.
No. They are artists. And we are just witnesses.
We are peons.
So then we go from, here we go again, God, shine your love on me, save me please, to just Mr. Hudson and Kid Cudi.
Cudi's doing those hums.
Doing those hums with Hudson just saying, stay strong. Like, stay strong, save me, Lord, stay strong, save me, Lord. And it's just this idea that you're kind of like the keep moving forward, where that was repeated over and over again to kind of show that that's the mindset that you have to have. We're getting the hums and the stay strong at duration and repeated, as it just shows that this is kind of the place that you're in, where you just have to have this mantra and maintain this strength, and you'll eventually come through the storm.
Yeah. I love that the stay strong is mixed in with the save me, Lord, because it acknowledges the work you have to do. You know, it's not just divine intervention. God is to make everything better for you. Ultimately, it's the faith you put in God that makes you better. Not saying that God isn't there and helping. I'm just saying, like, it ultimately comes from within. You're pushing yourself to do something through God's message.
Yes. And I think this applies equally to, like, people of all faiths and even, you know, agnostic and atheist, just this idea of, you know, staying strong and hoping that things will change. As long as you're putting in the effort to stay strong and hoping for more, hoping for better, there's going to be the opportunity that comes that way. If that's from God, amazing. If that's from one of the other gods, that's amazing. If that's just from circumstances of the world, then that's great too.
Yeah.
But it happens. You just have to be there for the opportunity.
Yeah, right.
Whew. So then we get into Kanye's verse.
Everybody want world peace till your niece gets shot in the dome piece. Then you're going by your own peace, hoping it'll help you find your own peace.
Everybody want world peace, which is so nice and so global and macro. And then till your niece gets shot in the dome piece. And it goes from something that's very general and like outside of you and outside of your control to this moment of very personal. Like your niece just got shot in the dome piece. And all of a sudden that grand general desire for world peace goes out the window for your own feelings of revenge. And you go and buy your own peace, hoping it'll help you find your own peace. Which I just love. It's one of the crazy little things that Kanye does that are so special to me, taking it from that macro, generalized place and undercutting that entirely with something so personal. And this actually interpolates Nas, the One Love from Illmatic, where it says Nas, he's writing letters to people he knows that have been sent to jail. Huh, is that relevant? Hmm. No.
Keep yes. going, keep going. Keep no. going. No, it's huh. probably not. If it is, if maybe it is, we'll find out later.
But he says in this letter to his friend that's in jail, but yo, guess who got shot in the dome piece? Jerome's niece on her way home from Jones Beach, which is a line that's been referenced by others, such as Immortal Technique, Nas himself again, Kanye. But I just love that it's Jerome too. And we know Jerome was such a figure on Yeezus.
Yeah, your mind starts racing.
Yeah, I don't think the two are connected, as Yeezus seemed more inspired by Martin's character, Jerome. But...
but it's... we won't know until we get Nas on the show, so he should probably get in here and clear this up.
Get Nas and Kanye, sit down, and ask him this important question.
Look, we're not asking for much. Maybe 1, 2, 6 hours of your time. We'll sit up in a cabin. Get there. And this is just for the recording process. We'll get there around noon, record for 6 hours. What happens after that, it's up to you. If you want to stay and spend the night, slumber party, you totally can. We're pretty far away from civilization, so you might as well stay.
Because of the implication.
The implication, no. Yes. I don't like you referencing It's Always Sunny in this moment.
Yeah, probably not the best Always Sunny reference to use at that time.
No, I think Kanye and Nas would be very into whatever's going to happen.
Maybe we could watch Always Sunny.
That'd
have
be great.
A marathon.
I bet Kanye's a fan.
Go through all 13 seasons?
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect.
And however long that takes, hey, we can't control that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And, you know, all that time buffering.
Yeah.
You never know.
And all the analysis that's going to happen in between episodes.
Yep. The debates about which episode's the best episode.
Mm. Who's the funniest character?
Yeah. Clearly Dennis.
Or is it Dee? I think she's a bit of a dark horse.
Do you see any of the episodes from this season?
I didn't even know it started.
She has one episode where she goes full Dennis because she now drives a Range Rover. And she's just like yelling, I am a golden goddess.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to get on that.
Yeah. Okay, so the interpolation of Nas, which is more fitting, and we talk about this a lot, that every song that Kanye interpolates or samples, I think the only one that's ever not had meaning to the themes and content that Kanye was talking about and it adding context to that was Aphex Twin.
Which is just like an ambient song.
Yeah, that's why. There's no lyrics. It's just ambience. Every other song that Kanye has ever sampled on an album it hasn't just been for the form or the sound of it, but it always is because the lyrics somehow play into what Kanye's talking about on his song. And we'll see that come in just a second. Because remember, on One Love, Nas is writing to his friends who are in jail through decisions that they've made. And at the very end of the song, Nas has this conversation with a 12-year-old. And he can kind of see the future of this 12-year-old, but wants him to do better. My little man, I'm a ghost, I bros. Left some jewels in his skull that he could sell if he chose. Words of wisdom from Nas, try to rise up above. Keep an eye out for Jake, shorty, rock One Love. Try to rise up above. And what that try to rise up above means, you know, a lot of people have talked about, is it just the life that we're in? Is it your behaviors, society and culture, the rap game? I think given the nature of the song, he's saying try to rise above the situation that we're in.
And a very specific situation, too, that Kanye's painting in his verse.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes way back right to everything that Kanye's saying. And as Kanye, after talking about this character whose niece got shot in the dome piece, and he goes and buys his own piece, Kanye then says, bring light to what they don't see.
Bring light to what they don't see. Auntie crying on the concrete. Talking to dispatcher, then the phone beep. On the other line with the homies. Told her that you ain't coming home, see. When she heard the news, I heard a bone deep. Caught with the rifle with the long reach. Just another cycle of the lonely.
Which is kind of like Ghost of Christmas Future-y. He's like, you know, all that people talk about or maybe see is the guy that's going to go get revenge. But what they don't see is that auntie's crying on the concrete, talking to the dispatcher, then the phone beep. On the other line was the homies, which seems to me to kind of maybe reference Kendrick a little bit with Good Kid, Mad City.
Mm.
But told her that you ain't coming home. And that's something that happens with Good Kid, Mad City. Like, Kendrick goes out with the homies, and they end up trying to fight these kids that jumped Kendrick. And Kendrick's best friend gets shot and killed.
Just promise me you tell this story when you make it big. And if I die before your album drop, I hope. Promise that you will. Same about me. Promise that you will.
But in this case, it's the guy that goes and gets the gun and goes out while the aunt's already upset about the niece and is trying to talk about the niece being killed. She's getting this call, letting her know that the guy's not coming home. Like, he got caught with the rifle with the long reach.
Yeah, it paints an extremely dire situation. I mean, just, you noted it, but it starts with everybody want world peace and just really shatters that idea and kind of brings reality to the forefront, which is really what the song's all about. And then all the other elements are just what you can learn from that, or how you move past that, and how you look internally and think about how by bettering yourself you can better the world around you.
Yeah, like if you give in to revenge, the situation just escalates and it can result in another loss of life. And as Kanye says, it's just another cycle of the lonely.
Cycle of the lonely. All growing up in the environment. We're doing crime, the requirement. They send us off to prison for retirement. Hopefully, Alex Johnson will inspire me.
All growing up in environment. We're doing crime, the requirements. Which seems to be a summation of what Nas talks about in One Love. That we're in this situation where we commit these crimes because it's just the life that we know and the culture that we're in and what we have to do because of how shit's set up.
Mm-hmm.
But he's telling that kid to rise above. And Kanye at the end of this saying, hopefully Alice Johnson will inspire men, gets at that same idea of hopefully people will be inspired to rise above the situation that they're in. And instead of reacting to somebody getting shot by seeking vengeance, maybe they'll rise above that. They'll take another action, find another way to find that peace.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how clear and crystallized that thought is here, because this is really what Kanye's been preaching out in the public now for months, rising above the beef with Drake, with Jay, with Rhymefest, but also rising above these larger tensions that exist, you know, between Trump and everybody who hates Trump, between Republicans and Democrats. He's been looking to squash any and all beef and just inspire people to, you know, want world peace by looking within and then like communicating with the other side and working with the other side. All of that, I think, is part of what he's preaching. And it's, to me, it's so clear in these last four verses, but knowing Kanye, he's very incapable of making that clear to most people, which is kind of too bad, because if this song had been all that existed of what he was really trying to preach, I don't think it would be very hard for people to understand. I don't think there would be this argument about what did freeing Alice Johnson even do? That's just one person. But to Kanye and to Kim, you know, that's more, it's more about the symbol of what Alice Johnson represents. It's somebody who got a second chance, and you can have a second chance too. You know, Kanye here is talking about sending off to prison for retirement, and that gets into the 13th Amendment, amending the 13th Amendment and everything. It's all of these thoughts, these simple thoughts that are pretty easy to get behind, get kind of muffled out in the public. And the message of what he's really trying to get at is lost. And that's why I really love this moment, because I think it's powerful. Like, I think this motivates me, honestly. And I think would motivate a lot of people to realize how useless, you know, revenge is and avenging others and what just communicating can do, you know, and what Alice Johnson represents. That's all so powerful.
Yeah, this verse is essentially Good Kid, Mad City and To Pimp a Butterfly.
Right.
Just in a verse, which, not to say that it's better than those, or but it's taking the same concepts that they have and applying it here. But where Kendrick gets praise for his consciousness and the story that he's telling, Kanye here, given his reputation at this point, people just write it off. Oh, this is fake consciousness. This is just him being pseudo deep. You know, if this shit was on College Dropout or Late Registration, people would be referring back to this as like, why don't we have this Kanye that was saying this stuff? Like,
Well, I think a lot of people aren't really looking to see the narrative on the album. So I could see them seeing this section of the verse feeling very removed from anything Kanye's going for. But the whole album is about bettering yourself. The whole album is about looking past the ghosts and looking past violence and beefing with other people and really just looking to how you can better yourself. And I mean, if you see that narrative playing, then this makes total sense of all that. It's a perfect culmination of all that.
When it gets into Marcus Garvey's speech about being the master of your environment, and also Kids See Ghost about having like civilization without society and power and wealth with nobility, that you're not just going with your base emotions, that you're not letting the environment dictate what you do and getting away from what you truly feel or that nobility. Like, you're rejecting what society would assume that you do or what society would try to force you into by being your own person. And revenge gets more into, I think, the baser emotions, where so much of this album is about getting in touch with the larger, the grandeur, the godliness.
Yeah.
And breaking out from that environment where crime, the requirements. And I think you can sub crime in for so much else. We're all growing up in an environment where political tensions, the requirements, or like polarized opinions are the requirements.
Yeah.
And just all these ills that are happening this day that we just think are part of a natural part of the environment, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Like, you can have this self-control, you can have this nobility and this civilization without what society's telling you, and lead a different path, walk a different path.
And I'm telling you, that's why Kanye meets with Trump, because he could just do what literally everyone else does in the world, which is complain about Trump because he's a monster of a human being. But Kanye knows that doing that hasn't really done much. You know, Trump's still there. Republicans are still going to control the Senate and everything. So I think Kanye just really sees this as being a master of his own environment in a way. You know, embracing Trump is to him, being himself is loving, is being the bigger man in a way and not giving into the tension and just loving one another.
Yep. Well, so Alice Johnson, I think just in case anybody doesn't know who she is at this point, she was somebody that was in jail for a life sentence. She had been part of a drug crew where she was the woman answering the phone or doing all the phone stuff for the crew and maybe organizing some of the money, but she wasn't selling the drugs. She wasn't high up. She was just somebody that they're like, hey, do this. And when they brought everybody in and brought everybody down, she just got the life sentence. And Kim had heard about the story and spent like a close to a year, maybe a year, working with people in the criminal justice system, lawyers, learning about the case, learning about what happens, and if this was appropriate or not. And she felt that Alice Johnson had been wronged and started a campaign to get her released, and actually went and met with Trump, and Trump excommunicated the sentence. Is that how it's described?
Sure.
Commune the sentence? Abolish the sentence? He got rid of, he pardoned her.
She free.
She's out. She's happy. And I think there's some layers to this. Alice Johnson will inspire men in the same way that there are layers to the Rise Up. In that it's this idea that she was a part of an environment that she didn't see another option away from or to. And she, of course, had one, but she chose to be part of it and she ended up in prison. But her story could have gone differently had she made different choices. At the same time, she got a life sentence for a first-time offense where she hadn't hurt anybody, killed anybody, wasn't one of the major players. And that's fucked up. And that should lead to change. And hopefully that will inspire people in a way. But also, she was in prison, I would say wrongfully, for that long. And there were people that came through and helped her. And she got out after being a model prisoner, rehabilitating as best as she could, and getting herself in that position to be saved. And if she had just been murdering people in jail or getting a lot of time in solitary or acting like shitty because she's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm already here, she wouldn't have been eligible because she would have had so many strikes against her. But because she continued to be a decent person despite the indecency of her situation, she was able to be saved. And I think the various ways of looking at her situation and what happened are all inspiring in that way.
Yeah.
So following that verse, we now get the repeat of the chorus with Cudi humming, with Mr. Hudson saying, stay strong, save me, Lord. But this time added into that is Kanye saying, Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please.
You're shining light on me, save me. Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please.
So he's taken up the same request that Cudi had at the start of the first verse. So we're seeing this dovetailing of what Cudi had been talking about and what Kanye had been talking about. And they're coming together to just create this mantra and this hope and this, I think, pathway to, I think, what both Cudi and Kanye see as a better living situation.
Mm-hmm. And again, the music the whole time really reflects this. We haven't really mentioned this, but the Kurt Cobain song Burn the Rain kind of dips in and out. Like when the chorus comes the first time, the Kurt Cobain song disappears and you kind of have that light sound coming in, and it's mixed with the synths. And then when we get back to verse two, the Kurt Cobain song comes back in and it's mixed with the synths.
Everybody want world peace till your knees get shot in the dome piece.
Then you go. And again, here we go again. The light sound comes back in, mixed with the synths, and it's kind of the slow build to where the synths are slowly evaporating. And we're eventually just going to have that light sound there. And Kanye's request, Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please. You really feel that happening, I think. Like, I don't know how to describe the sound that's happening in the background of this song, but to me, it just feels like light, like a plethora of light kind of coming in and enveloping them.
Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please. Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please.
And I really just, it's just kind of amazing how, like, it's almost like a film to me. Like, Kanye's literally painting an image of what the sound is actually reflecting.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Yeah, I always get a sense of radiance, mm-hmm. almost as if it had been cloudy and you're sitting in your living room and then, you know, the sun comes through the clouds and your window kind of starts lighting up and the room takes on lights and you become aware of that radiance without it being this outright brilliance.
Yeah. It's pretty similar to the only one music or the only one video game Kanye had been making and then mysteriously disappeared. But if you ever watch it, the sound that kind of comes in and you see these angelic figures kind of floating towards heaven. To me, this sound is pretty similar to that.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting.
You don't say.
And so we get the repetition coming throughout, and we finally get an outro where Kanye says, both sides lose somebody.
Both sides lose somebody. Somebody dies, somebody go to jail. Stay strong.
Which seems to be his ultimate point with the vengeance. It's not just that, you know, you try to get revenge and you die, but not only do you die, but somebody else then goes to jail. So two lives are ruined by the one attempted action. Where, you know, if you just had waited for the cops to do their thing, or if there was that justice, the person that shot the niece in the dome piece would just go to jail by themselves rather than two lives being ruined. So it's like when you try to take this power into your own hands and do something and act based on these emotions, it just results in a net loss rather than there being some good that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could apply that to how Kanye, as you were saying, is thinking about politics these days, how he's thinking about conversation and just the world.
Yeah. This definitely has larger implications than the specific scenario he's painted.
Yes, 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 yes. And then Kanye comes back in with light on me, save me, please. And just, Lord, shine your light on me, shine your light on me, shine your light on me. And that's how it then kind of trails off and ends. It's, which could seem, I think, there's an ambiguity to the ending. Because we don't get something concrete like, and God's here now, and we're on the ultralight beam, and is it everything amazing? You're left with the prayer and the hope that God will shine his light. And that last word of stay strong. It's not like, hey, you stayed strong and everything's good, but like, just keep hanging on. And you'll have your highs. And then you have lows again, and you might not get that conclusion right now, but just keep staying strong. I think having that abeyance here and that lack of conclusion is probably the more powerful choice as it gets into what we need to do in order to make it through these darker times is just keep repeating this and knowing that the light will be there.
Yeah. I mean, it gets right back to what we were talking about earlier. It's not about divine intervention. It's just about looking for guidance and believing that if you believe in God and his mission enough and you live by that mission, then good things will come to you.
Yeah. And you had talked about in prep how the soundscape being what it is seems to imply that while we don't have that definitive inclusion or conclusion, that we have that sense that, like, yes, the presence is there. Like, God is there. Things will be okay.
Yes.
We were trying to think of a movie to compare to compare this song to and the album to. And one came to mind thanks to Travis's brilliant thinking.
And scrolling through IMDb.
And that's the 1946 film It's a Wonderful Life, which continues to be a lovable Christmas movie to this day.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Hey, that's Mary.
Mary. The story being, if you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, that George Bailey is thinking about committing suicide. That some things have happened in his life that have been hard for him. There's some money issues that happen with the job that George has. And that there's some loan money that's a problem. And George realizes that criminal charges are possible. And he yells at Uncle Billy and then goes home and takes out his frustrations on his family. So he has that moment of allowing the baser emotions to get the better of him. And that brings him to the point where he thinks about suicide. And they send down an angel in training who's trying to get his wings. And this is George's guardian angel.
I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
And the guardian angel shows George his life, or the world around him, if he had never been born.
I said, I wish I'd never been born.
Ooh, you mustn't say things like that. You... Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's an idea.
What do you think? And so you see what would happen to his wife, what happens to the people that he cares about. And at the end of this vision, George realizes that he wants to be alive and that his life has meaning and that he needs to be there and that he needs to take positive action.
Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Terrence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again!
And it turns out that the townspeople have rallied to help him. And they cover the $8,000 that's missing. Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
And that gets somebody's warrant torn up, and George is happy, and that's the movie.
Yeah, and it's to us, it kind of reminded of us what's going on in this album and how the album starts with this sort of external scape where you're surrounded by all the ghosts and temptations and you want to feel the love, but you're kind of scared, honestly, of the state you're dipping into and the pressure to live a certain life. And here, finally, on Cutty Montage, you kind of have that reawakening that George has, where you're really in the same situation you were before. Nothing's changed, other than the journey you've gone on. This sort of ethereal journey where you were outside of yourself, kind of looking at everything, looking internally, and then here you are back in reality, back in the same situation, but you see everything much differently. And now you see love all around you, and you cherish your family, and you can't even imagine committing suicide anymore. And a large part of it is because George let God into his life and faith in a way guided him towards that. And the idea that this angel will now get its wings because, you know, George went through that journey and finally realized it. We see that happening here where Cuddy and Kanye are just letting the light in. And it's not about, again, it's not about divine intervention. It's not about something spectacular happening. It's just about you looking at the situation you're in a little differently.
You have a better perspective than what you did. And that perspective makes all the difference.
Yeah. Shit. I got to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I haven't seen it in years.
I hadn't seen it, and I was working at Family Video, and the manager, it was around Christmas time, kept doing the George Bailey voice and found it to be the most hilarious thing that had ever happened in the world.
I like how I did it earlier and thought it was funny too.
Yeah. It's a fun voice, but he just kept doing it to everybody.
You could do it too much.
And then he'd be like, "It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life." And people would be like, "What?" He's like, "Oh." And he'd just keep doing it. James Stewart. So then he made me watch It's a Wonderful Life. And like told me to stop working and just stand there and watch the TV and watch It's a Wonderful Life, which was kind of nice, but also kind of like if I started to like look around or like answer a customer, it'd run up and be like, "Hey, you just keep going. I'll handle this."
That is very awkward.
Yeah, he really wants me to watch this movie. He got fired. But
yeah, haven't you talked about this guy before? Wasn't he a piece of shit?
Yeah, yeah. He said some inappropriate things about the assistant manager, and...
Oh, man. That might go back to our college dropout episodes.
She wasn't even mad. She was excited that she had something to get him fired. We all were. We all were. But that was my first time watching it, so I think I need to watch it.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, too. But there's something about that ending as well, as you're saying, that having that different perspective and understanding about your place in the world. And we were talking about how so much of this song, I think, relies on the understanding of what Mos Def or Yazeem Bey says at the end of Kids See Ghosts in that bridge.
Civilization without society. Power and wealth with nobility. Stability without stasis. Places, spaces.
And just how those four lines, as vague as they seem, when you start to apply meaning to them and think through the implications of them and put them in context of not just Kids See Ghosts, but Ye as well, start to really be the path forward. That you can have your own civilization without the pressures of society, that power and wealth, how you had heard Pusha T describe power and wealth as this kind of indulgent thing at the start on Feel the Love, gets described with nobility and stability without stasis. You know, if you're stasis, you're locked, you're fixed, and that's not
you're good. Not moving forward.
You're not moving forward. And if you're moving forward, you can do that in that stability, even though you're moving, but you're stable as you're just in this one action, and you know that that's what is getting you to the next place.
Yeah.
And just, I love the idea of how we twist everything from Feel the Love, and it goes from that Feel the Love being the external thing to Feel the Love being much more internal. That by the end of the album, you're getting that love back, but it's no longer the thing that it was. That the meaning of love has changed to you based on this journey, which is very, It's a Wonderful Life-y.
Yeah, right. Mary. Couldn't resist.
Any other thoughts?
No, this is, man, there's just so much packed into the end of this album. It's kind of amazing that we got through it all, and I would say covered it pretty perfectly.
I agree, Travis.
Not one mistake.
We're gonna be going back through like 6 months from now, like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit,
ghosts are gonna haunt me. Mistake.
Yeah, Lord, shine your light on me.
But no, it is sad. This album's like fucking incredible, and probably, I would say, the most cinematic of any of Kanye's efforts, actually, because I feel like the ghostly soundscape and the way it moves throughout the album really isn't anything like Kanye's done, besides Ye, maybe. But you really do feel like you're part of a literal environment throughout.
Yeah, in terms of like form and function, it's something that Kanye has been flirting with for a while. I would say since kind of like Barry Bonds,
right?
And into 808s and Heartbreak, you had form and function kind of aligning. Pinocchio Story is such a great moment. Fuck. For that, it had moments on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, moments on Yeezus. I think you started to see it ramp up more on The Life of Pablo, but it seems to be something that he really hit his stride with Ye and Kid Seagost.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just the music is that soundtrack cinematic perfection.
Mm-hmm. Witness scene and master.
That's right. Also, I guess that does it. We'll have overview episodes of Ye and Kid Seagost, but we're going to give it a couple months.
Basically, we want to be done recording about these albums.
Yeah, so we'll get to those eventually and have kind of our post-album coverage analysis of the albums of the whole, or as a whole. Until then, join us as we return finally
gosh
to Late Registration. Over the next few weeks, we're going to cover Gone, Homecoming, Big Brother, Pinocchio Story, and Who Will Survive in America.
My God. Are we going to be able to do that?
Oh, we will. Will we do it well? No. But we will do it.
I feel like that's a progression of difficulty, almost, like each song.
Yeah. I mean, that's Kanye's discography, yeah. The progression of difficulty. Yeah. But if you want to support the show in the meantime, continue listening. Subscribing on iTunes and leaving us a review really helps for... what is it when you're visibility on the charts?
People can see us.
Yeah, they rely on both subscriptions and reviews to kind of determine your place on the chart. So we'd appreciate that. We also have a few ways to support us financially if you'd want to do that, the details of which are in the show description. But to summarize, Patreon, shirts available on the website, and the Yeezus book for sale.
If you like Yeezus, gotta get your hands on this book, man.
And if you know Kanye fans looking for a Christmas present, the Yeezus book is the present to get them.
Yeezmas.
That's right. Merry Yeezmas.
Okay. Well.
Happy Yanaka? No.
No, I like it.
Kanyeika? Kanaka?
Kanza?
We started off so well. Okay.
Bye.
And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.